from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. What's going on, gentlemen?
Not much. Monday morning. Start of a new week. That's about it. That's all I got.
It's Monday morning. Hello.
That's all I got. It's Monday at 6:02 in the a.m. How do you think it is?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
Not bad.
It's Tuesday Eve, babe.
Nunchimali.
Did you just learn that one, or is that one you're allowed to say on the air?
It just means not bad.
Oh, okay. I thought it meant something like idiot.
No,
Ed is taking Italian classes.
Yeah.
Now you taking that for what again?
Citizenship.
You want to be an Italian citizen one day?
Yeah, we're both doing this. Last time she's doing it, I'm getting hers. I got to pass the language exam.
But I like honestly, and I was telling
but then
him,
you you have a passport for the whole EU. So it's not just Italy.
EU. Didn't they do with the butt?
Yeah.
The song?
Doing the butt.
Yeah, that was EU. One.
That was EU. I think so.
Was it?
Yeah. And I liked that Ed's learning Italian because I was telling him.
I'll give you endless material.
That too. But I said this, that like I have so much respect for people in other countries that can speak two languages fluently. And then you run into a guy that can speak eight. I mean, you're a Kobe Bryant fan, and as soon as you heard him speak Italian, you're like, what was that?
We grew up there.
But I'm just saying.
He speaks other languages, too.
He speaks like six or seven languages.
Yeah. So I'm on Ross St. Brown.
Yeah. Well, his mom's German, so that stuff's, it's great.
My friend Filippo. I don't know if you've met him. He speaks like five.
It's a Filippo. Yeah, I met him, right? Yeah. Is that him?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I don't think he said it like that.
He did not. Filippo.
Italian, English, French, Swiss.
You're going to walk out one day and Italian's going to be outside and rip your ass.
Now you can't leave.
Oh, you find it odd that nobody picked up Cole Urban?
Not really. I mean, look.
I mean, some of the pitchers have been traded for has ERAs of 4.5 something.
This is worse.
Yeah, but I don't know. Look, he had the nice little run earlier this year where it was a scoreless streak, and we're going, is this thing real? I kept saying he was getting very lucky during it.
What'd you ever see in him?
I thought it was funny. But I do like, I think he's a great guy.
He is.
I don't want to just trash the dude, but like when you're looking at the numbers here, I don't, outside of him being left-handed, I don't know if there was any other reason to pick him up.
He couldn't go deep in games. He'd give you two or three innings.
Don't trust him in the bullpen.
Four or five if you're lucky.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's a tremendous human being. However, he just wasn't getting outs.
Yeah, you're allowed to date my sister. I don't want to root for you on my baseball team. Thanks.
He just wasn't getting outs. But the fact that he's in AAA says that he could be back at some point.
Yeah. And you know, like, it is, baseball's so weird. We've talked about it so many times about having football eyes on baseball games. Yeah. And I was talking
I'm
about
so
it all
sick
this.
Of it.
I did a radio show.
I can't wait the football season starts so some of these keep going.
I mean,
go watch football.
So I did this radio show all weekend long, and we were kind of talking about these different things and how people are perceiving, because the Phillies were on a big losing streak. Yep. They snapped it last night. The Yankees and Orioles going on their losing streak.
The White Sox.
Yeah. Now it's nip and tuck with those two teams winning.
Yeah.
Yankees and Orioles. Yeah.
But like, it's just how people overreact. And like, I'm arguing with people to tell me my reaction's wrong, and I have no reaction. All I'm saying is wait and see what happens. Like, You guys heard me when I came in after the trade deadline. I don't get the Eloy Jimenez trade. I'm not going to argue with it because Mike Elias has done a good job.
Nobody's so bad right now.
Yeah, and then you look at it, and he's come in and he's played well. Sometimes you get guys that get out of hell and get to a better place.
Aaron Hicks.
Well, I was about to say, maybe Rashawn was right. Maybe that's the Aaron Hicks move of the year.
Don't do that.
I'm just saying, maybe it was.
Don't tell Rashawn he was right on something. By the way,
I may have told him face-to-face.
I should tell Rashawn, I did a show yesterday, and one of the guys that worked behind the scenes is the producer for that station that he loves down in Dallas.
In Dallas.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, but you're kind of getting Aaron Hicks vibes with this whole baseball team.
O'Hearn.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah. O'Hearn's here to stay. I think he's that guy. They have an option to pick up for him for next year. If they don't, they're doing things wrong. He's got to be here.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. And with Eloy, too, if he keeps, like, they said, hey, he's good against left-handed pitching, and then he hits everything, and it's like, well, there's a right-hander today. You want to see what he does against him? Just keep hitting everything again. Yeah. And the thing I love about it, like, I know the power numbers will be there, but you saw him go oppo down the line for the double. They
couldn't
get him
in. That was beautiful at-bat.
Yeah, it's just.
Beautiful at-bat. And it's kind of like when Gunner was slumping. And then Gunner starts getting singles to start peppering the ball a little bit. And then yesterday goes yard. Sometimes you just got to get back into the thick of things before you start thinking about hitting for the power. You got to relearn your strike zone. And you saw.
That's what happened with Holiday, yeah.
Shorten the swing.
Yeah,
yes. Definitely.
That happened with Holiday, too.
Oh, my
gosh. Look at the numbers he's put up.
Oh, my gosh.
So there was this thing that, and I know it was taken off there for a while when I was working with Scott, and we would call somebody professional hitter. Like Steve Pierce, professional hitter. Mm-hmm. Delman Young, professional hitter. Guys that you'd look like, you'd say, yeah, he's playing well. I like his bat. He goes to other teams. Teams pick him up because they know what he can do. It's not something that necessarily puts you over the top, but you put him out in the field, and it's like, I don't know where he belongs, but all of a sudden, you put him in that lineup, and you're like, yeah, he mashes. And I think Eloy Jimenez falls in
Matt
that.
Matt Stairs.
Yes.
Back in the day. Yeah.
I mean, you could sit here and keep throwing those guys out as much as you want. I just watched the Tigers had the anniversary. I'm sorry. No, it was the Guardians. If you got to see their broadcast, I know a lot of people didn't. They had Victor Martinez in the in the booth. And I'm looking
was
at him.
Was a catcher, then became the DH.
Yeah. I'm looking at him and I'm going, who's that fat guy? and then you see his face, you're like, oh, it's Victor Martinez. And then he starts talking about his career there and how much he loved being in Cleveland, and when they traded him, he cried his eyes out because he went to Detroit. But that's another guy that you would just say professional hitter.
On the flip side, CC Sabathia looked fantastic in the booth.
Yes.
He lost like another human.
Stop drinking.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, remember he went away
because
of alcohol abuse. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, he stopped drinking.
He looks great.
Lost a lot of calories just through that.
Really? Yeah, absolutely.
But people don't realize, too. Like, you cut out soda or you cut out drinking, do it for a while and see what it does to your body. But the same thing with CeCe Sabathia. He said his son is a huge Orioles fan, so he comes here all the time. I don't know if that has anything. I know Adam Jones and he were friendly.
Yes.
I don't know if that's how that started.
He had a lot of kind words for the Orioles.
Yeah.
But, was one of his favorite players growing up, Adam, because he was just so close to him. But go back to Victor Martinez. Lifetime 295. This is 16 years. Lifetime 295 batting average, 815 OPS, 455 slugging.
And by the way,
you know, he had a career on-base percentage of .360.
It's amazing.
Career. Huh?
Yeah.
He was just one of those players that even Edgar Martinez, and I know that was primarily DH's whole career. Victor Martinez came up as a catcher and then moved to first.
Then he became a first baseman DH.
Yeah.
I mean, he played more games as a DH than he did as a catcher.
And it just shows you, like, you appreciated watching him play, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with Edgar Martinez.
Yeah.
And as much as I used to say all the time, like, I appreciate the National League style of play, you can extend these guys' careers and, you know, have great baseball players keep playing just because they're not great at one aspect of it.
Switch hitting catcher who knew how to work the count, man. He was just sensational. And right, he played for three teams his entire career because there was a stop from Cleveland. He actually got traded from Cleveland to Boston.
So it was the Boston, then he went to Detroit.
Then he went to Detroit on his own.
Yeah.
Because I remember he had a big contract for the Detroit Tigers. Didn't he help them? He helped them win a World Series? He went there at 11. The Tigers win a World Series after 11?
I don't remember.
Maybe not. Maybe just a good team. Five-time All-Star, two-time Silver Slugger winner. So 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Lamar Jackson is in the top five of top 100 players in the National Football League, according to NFL Network. We'll talk about that at 7 o'clock. Some of you may say, what? That high? Some of you may justify say it's justified. But on the other side, Bird started off slowly in Cleveland. Finish up strong. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
The Big Bang. Update from the yard. Brought to you by LifeMed Institute. Guys, regain confidence and performance in the bedroom with Gainswave Therapy at LifeMed Institute. Gainswave is a revolutionary non-invasive ED treatment. Call 410-575-1200 or go to LifeMedInstitute.com to find out more. On 105.7 The Fan.
We punched out a bunch today, but God, we had a lot of really good at-bats off a starter with outstanding stuff and really good numbers coming in. Really impressed by, got a huge fastball. I thought we just took really good at-bats against them. Up and down the order, Gunn, Eloy with some big hits. You know, Hearn with the backside double. Rutsch is starting to swing the bat like we know he can. So, good day for us offensively.
Brandon Hyde celebrating his team's 9-5 win over the Cleveland Guardians. They went 2-2 in the series in which they started off 0-2, 3-4 on the year against the Guardians. But you know what the bright side of that going 3-4 is against the Guardians? If you face them in the postseason, who are the Guardians going to face? Burns?
Yeah.
Rodriguez?
Eflin.
Eflin. And they didn't beat either one of them.
Yeah.
The three wins against the Guardians came from those three pitchers. Rodriguez beat him in the first series at home. He stopped the sweep. Eflin got him a win to make it 2-1 or 1-2. And then, although they scored four earned runs yesterday against Burns, how many times is Burns going to have that kind of game?
Right.
I think, and also, Jeremy, maybe you agree with me, in the postseason, Burns is not going to have a chance to give up that three-run home run because he's out of the game.
Yeah, he's not, but I also think that he's probably approaching this thing a little bit differently.
Right.
Yesterday, when you were watching him, I mean, there was, look, this Cleveland team's a contact team. They don't strike out a ton. They absolutely annihilate left-handed pitching, which that's not me giving a pass to Trevor Rogers. It's just what they do. And they win games at home. And you were able to go in there and split after losing the first two. And I think it says a lot about your team.
And if they're ahead in the fifth inning, you're done.
Yeah, well, that's the this is the part of, that I really liked about this. And you're right. So on, what was it, Thursday and Friday, you got to see the best parts of their bullpen. I love that we saw Jackson Holliday hit the cutter off of Class A.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He's been killing it. So it just shows you what Holliday's been doing. But I also love that the Orioles over the weekend, and it may not have been their best parts of their bullpen, were able to score runs late in the game. Because it's a mental thing, too, with them. Because teams go in there, and you get to the fifth inning, and you're like, we're down. Yep. I don't think we're coming back.
Ed, I know you are a huge Cedric Mullins fan.
I am.
But something happened yesterday
that
makes me scratch my head.
I was so mad.
Cedric Mullins has a runner on second. You have a rookie behind you that has not had a base hit all year. And you lay down a bunt. Number one, I think Ben McDonald and Jeff Arnold got it wrong. I don't think he was sacrificed bunting because he was moving out of the box.
He's dragging it.
He was dragging it.
Yeah.
Okay. You've been seeing the ball well. Why are you trying to get a drag bunt to move the runner over to third and leave it up to a rookie who hasn't had a major league hit yet? At that time, you are the veteran. That's a bad approach at the plate. And Brandon Hyde's expression afterwards said it all. Brandon Hyde had that look like, I just tasted something bad.
Well,
you got to be the veteran and drive the runner.
Absolutely.
You know, the other part of this, too, is like looking at that situation, and I'm sure with the Orioles being analytical, they saw it. That entire game up until that point, Gavin Williams had not got a ground ball. Everything had been a fly ball.
Right.
Or it had been a strikeout. Everything. You know, like when we're talking about what's come off the bat. And I'm watching Ced lay down a bunt with a man on second in this day's game. And, you know, you're looking at today's game as opposed to what was happening before. I would rather take my chance with one of three guys getting a base hit than moving that runner over and hoping a guy that hasn't had a hit yet. I mean, look, we still got plenty of time with him.
Well, you're not going to hit him with double play.
Yeah.
He's on second.
Right.
So it's like,
worst case scenario, you hit a ground ball to third.
That's it.
Second base.
It doesn't advance.
Move him over anyway.
Or if he doesn't, he's still in second base.
Yeah.
You know?
That was a horrible approach at that time of the game.
And the other part of this, too, and I'm not trying to knock Eloy Jimenez. He was the guy on second. But when you move him over to third with a fly ball, I'm sorry, there's no guarantee that cat's tagging up and making it anyway.
Yeah. It has to be at least a medium deep fly ball.
Yeah, I'm not saying he can't. Don't get me wrong. It's not like he's carrying a refrigerator on his back, but he's numbers, not the player he was.
The numbers don't add up in that situation, man. You know who's behind you.
Well, so the part with that, too, is Sed comes off of being hot at home, and then he comes and faces the Guardians, and he goes 0 for 9. So he had, you know, 9 straight at-bats without getting a hit. Does that sit in his mind and go, okay, I'm going to lay down a bunt and try to get on base? I just thought it was a terrible time to do it, especially at that point in the game. And I understand people are going to go, well, you're playing the Guardians and, you know, their bullpen is so good. F that, man. I'm not trying to listen to that.
Drive the ball. Drive the ball, drive the runner in, and get it done. I thought it was, again, in my opinion, a horrible at-bat for him at that time. However, Ed, I think Colton Cowser is officially back in the driver's seat for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. That was he looks good. I like him in the field, too. He's good at the plate. I'm happy he looks comfortable now. But he's also pretty fluid in the field, which, but, you know, you see, and some of these guys aren't, especially in left field.
Yeah. And he's good in the center, too. Jeremy, this rookie has 16 home runs, 49 RBI, and an OPS, incredible OPS for a rookie of 795.
So, you know, I've done a lot of talking about the Rookie of the Year and how they vote for this thing. It does come down to WAR quite a bit. So if you're looking at the guys that are going to be leading in WAR, mm-hmm. they're usually going to be the guy that wins this award almost always. And as you're looking at the American League, what's happened now is Luis Hill's the front runner, and he had been. But you got to understand, like, every game that he pitches is so important for mm-hmm. him because he has 4 other days that the other guys can accumulate WAR and he can't. So for starting pitchers, right. you got to be just dominant. And with Hill, we've seen a little bit of an up and down from him. He was fine in his last start. But when you're watching Colton Cowser getting a chance to lead off and he has an on-base streak now, he's been on base every game since the All-Star break. It's pretty impressive to see him doing that. He's getting more opportunities. The other guy that snuck into this and has a legit shot to win it is Austin Wells of the Yankees. Their backup catcher, once Jose Trevino got hurt, he slides into the role. They've been batting this cat clean up. Left-handed bat, hits for average, hits for power. They really like him. He's entered the Rookie of the Year race. In my opinion, those are the only 3 guys that can win this award.
And also, I love the fact that Gunnar Henderson did not have a very good July. People talk, he didn't end July very well. He finished up in the month of July batting 276 with a 751 OPS. So it wasn't horrible. It was how it finished. Well, it started in Cleveland, one of the better pitching staffs, guys, in the American League. And what does Gunnar do? Gunnar in Cleveland goes 8-for-17, home run, 4 RBI, and only struck out twice in the entire series.
Didn't you see yesterday coming on, like, Friday into Saturday when you're going, okay,
yeah,
he's feeling it again.
Yeah, because even going 0-for-4 on Friday, it was a he had a lot of loud outs, a lot of, you know, I think his exit velocity was around 102, 103 on 2 of his outs. So you started to see him swing it pretty good at that time.
Yeah. And look, there's a lot to like about what you saw this weekend. I know it didn't feel that way on Thursday and Friday. I am interested to see Trevor Rogers' next start. I do think this team is better than they were at the All-Star break, and they're going to continue to get better. Having a Jackson Holliday get called up and swinging the bat the way he is, mm-hmm. like, I'm watching him and I'm going, he's going to force his way further up in this lineup by the end of the year if he keeps swinging the bat like this. You don't have to change anything because you've got good batters up top.
No, I'm with you.
But, you know, Kierstead was batting in the middle of the lineup because he had power. With the way that this guy hits, and again, the guys in front of him, like, going back to Gunnar was on first base when that double was hit down the line by O'Hearn, I believe. And you just watching him run, he's cooking it. He gets to third base and you're like, he's definitely going. And you could see how tired he was running around this, but he runs the bases so freaking well.
Yeah.
You knew he was scoring from first base on that hit.
And that's, I said that before, you know, the excuse of keeping someone on the roster because of speed is a tired excuse. They're all fast.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, Cowser can pick him up and put him down. Gunnar can run.
Jackson can
run. And let's be honest, Mountcastle's no slouch.
Yeah. I mean, guys are way more athletic than you want to give them credit for, and I get that. You know, when you see a guy like Mateo, he has unbelievable speed. And you hear about some of these other guys, and people were talking about Pache. It's like, oh, he's got speed. Okay, I'm listening to you, but
get on
base.
Steal
first.
Exactly. I cannot justify keeping you in the lineup because you have better speed than guys who are really fast. You know what I mean? If the difference between you and them mm-hmm. are worlds apart, we can justify it. But he just thought about Gunnar. How many times have you seen Gunnar score from first on a double?
Gunnar's fast. Even your catcher. I had to hit a triple on Saturday. You don't see catchers hit triples.
You can't use this excuse anymore.
Yeah.
You can't. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Have the haters gone away from a certain lefty? We'll talk about that at 6:45. But on the other side, do you still see the Birds as one of the five best teams in baseball right now? Not looking forward to October. I mean, right now. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
6:34 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Birds struggled for a little bit in July. Seems to turn it around since the All-Star break. Getting back in the thick of things, battling the New York Yankees. The Orioles have won 6 out of the last 10 games. Win percentage of 600 naturally. Overall win percentage 593. So last 10 games been doing slightly better than their win percentage for the season. Ed, are they still, in your opinion, right now, as we speak, a top five team in baseball?
Yes, 100%. I mean, you know, because it's a streaky game. And now what are the Phillies doing? They're struggling.
Streaking the opposite way. 2 of the last 10, they won.
They're struggling. And then the Orioles beat them. So it's like, it's not that they can't beat them. I don't think the Brewers are as good as the Orioles. I don't know about the Dodgers, because you never know with that lineup. They have a lot of injuries, though. Cleveland's tough. I think they're better than the Mariners. I think, you know, the Yankees are still going to be tough. So,
in no particular order, yeah. Orioles, Yankees, Guardians,
Dodgers.
Phillies, Dodgers. Prove me wrong. Top five teams.
I think you could make a case for the Astros the way they've been playing, but okay. I'm not arguing that. I think you have the five right teams. And the thing I would say to you is take all the other teams you respect in the American League. Seattle's probably not one of them, but they should be in there.
Man.
Do the Orioles have the best three starters going in? Because everybody's bitching about them not getting Scooble. Do they have the best three starters in any American League series?
As I said to you before, I don't like the fact that they went 3-4 against the Guardians, but I love the fact that the players, the pitchers who are going to be pitching in a playoff series, are the ones that beat the Guardians.
Yeah.
Burns beat them. Rodriguez beat him in the last series at home, mm-hmm. and Eflin beat him in Cleveland. Those are the three guys that are going up against him. If they're not the best three, you know, but they're right up there.
But you know the problem. So, like, take this weekend, the small sample size of what we had for the guys that we've traded for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rodgers' opening start didn't look good. Eflin got two wins, and people might look at the overall numbers when he was pitching to the scoreboard. They were up like 8-0 at that one point. He ends up giving a late home run up in his first start.
Right.
Soto got destroyed this weekend, looked awful. And then you start looking at Eloy Jimenez and some of the other guys. Slater let off, and everybody's like, how can you lead this guy? Have you guys ever watched him? That's all he does is he hits left-handed pitching. That's it. He just hits left-handed pitching. And he comes in, has a couple of base hits. And it's weird because when things are negative or things are going wrong, people are so negative about it. Like, oh, this was going to be awful. I knew it was going to be awful. But on the flip side, you're not the people that are happy about what's happening right now, mm-hmm. and waiting to see how the whole thing plays out. They're not the ones beating the drum on social media telling you Eloy Jimenez is the greatest trade ever. Or Zach Eflin, this thing's definitely going to work out because he had two good starts. It's still early.
I like the Eloy Jimenez trade. You and I talked about this. I liked it. Do I think he's going to be a guy who from here on out bats 280 plus? No, I don't know. But
he's happy here, man.
Exactly.
When's the last time he had to play inspired baseball? He's been on a crappy-ass White Sox team.
Yeah, you go from like the worst team in baseball to one of the best overnight.
You left a 17-game hitting a losing streak.
Right.
That's what you left. That's now grown to 20.
You went to a contender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's grown to 20. You left probably like 15 at the time.
21 now.
That's 20 at the last night. Yeah.
Was it Smoltz talking about him over the weekend on the Fox broadcast where he was like, just think about it. This team's getting ready. They lost 20-some in a row. You're in a clubhouse that you're just showing up. Like, you're just doing this because it's your job, and they tell you you have to.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
I mean, that's basically it. And then all of a sudden they go, hey, guess who wants you? A team that's in first place. Are you kidding me? So, yeah, I think, and again, this could be some little honeymoon phase. He may be the guy, like, his problem's been he's often hurt. But like Hyde said, he's a professional hitter. So you don't get too caught up in how good the guys looked this weekend. You don't get caught up in how bad some of the guys looked. It's, you know, it's one opportunity here.
And if it is the honeymoon phase, we'll let it last long enough for Adley Rutschman or somebody else to get hot. Pass the baton to somebody else until they get hot. I don't care whether it's the honeymoon phase.
That's right. You pick up the other guys.
Yeah.
People are going to struggle.
Are we going to continue to see Kowser in the leadoff spot?
For right now, yes. For right now, yes, because Gunnar is starting to hit the ball now. He started hitting when he moved out of the leadoff spot.
Adley just started. Well,
I told you Gunnar wasn't in love with leadoff from the beginning. We had this conversation before. Mm-hmm. He wasn't in love with it. I think moving out of it, you know, I don't know whether that helps him or just a coincidence, but as long as these guys, Kowser's been hitting the ball well, Gunnar's been hitting the ball well since you made that move. No need to make a move back. Not in my opinion. Let's go to Chris, who's in Parkville. What's up, Chris?
Gentlemen.
Good morning.
Hope everyone and your families had a great weekend.
Thank you, sir.
I certainly did. I just want to, I guess, piggyback on what you were saying, Rob. They seem to be getting traction now, and they're swinging the bats nice and clean. They're not torquing with the bat to try to get a home run every – I think there's a little anxiousness leading up to the trade deadline. So they seem to be getting their footing now, and I'm just looking forward to just moving forward, letting the new additions settling in. I think it's going to be good.
I'm with you. I'm with you, Chris. And again, I don't want to beat this dead horse too much, but we saw this before last year. They added Aaron Hicks.
Yeah,
Aaron Hicks was hot for a long time. He cooled off, but when he cooled off, others got hot.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Then he goes in the postseason, hits a home run, made a blunder, in my opinion, at the plate, getting Gunnar Henderson thrown out. But he got hot long enough to help this team. He helped carry this team for a couple of weeks. If that's what Eloy Jimenez is going to do, then it's worth the trade.
Well, you told
they were playing bad baseball before then.
What about veteran leadership? It's something you brought up with the bats. I know it's, you know, we've talked about it. Didn't know that Eloy was going to be the guy, but have you seen him and Ryan O'Hearn? This was kind of like when Boban Marjanovic got traded to the 76ers and he and Tobias Harris became best friends.
Yeah.
Like, how'd this happen?
Exactly.
What are these guys doing? You know, like, but
you know what it is? Two guys who were snatched from bad teams and careers were on life support. There's a bond there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
There's a bond there. Yeah. I know who you are. You know what I mean? That's a bond there. And by the way, I know Ryan O'Hearn, I said this to you guys before, walks around like he's Liam Neeson. I know he does. He walks around with a Liam Neeson face, but is one of the best teammates you could have. He does. He looks around like, you know, he has a special set of skills, but he is one of the better teammates to have. He is.
But Eloy looks like he fits right in, man. And again, like watching him get that first hit, turning the water on, and you see him with the guys. And
I saw this on TV.
Yeah, I know.
like the tiger for shizzle. Always wanted to say that.
You could see like people are like, "Oh, that's corny. What are you doing?" And all of a sudden, he's like, "I like this." What are we doing? Is this a sprinkler? What are we doing here? What do I do when I get the third? Don't worry about that. You're not hitting the triple, buddy. You're not hitting the triple.
410-583-1057 is the number. Lamar Jackson ranked very high in the NFL top 100. Some think maybe too high. We'll talk about that at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, has he silenced the haters? A certain lefty out there who can't go more than 5. He did it over the weekend. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
First pitch to De La Cruz. He hits a fly ball right center. Yastrzemski has it! And Blake Snell has pitched the first no-hitter of his brilliant career.
They can't say it anymore, you know? Complete game, shutout, no-hitter, leave me alone. He doesn't go to the ninth, doesn't go to the eighth. Y'all get that feels? Just did it, leave me alone.
Oh, Blake Snell, congratulations. Complete game, shutout, you did it. We thought maybe the Orioles were going to make a run for Blake Snell before the trade deadline, something that we were okay with, but your overall opinion, Jeremy Connor, Blake Snell is?
Cool. You did it, man. You got to the eighth and ninth inning once. We're still going to talk about how you're a five-inning pitcher. But, look, it would have been nice to see the Orioles to get an arm like that, but we didn't see anyone really get traded outside of Jack Flaherty when you're talking about the upper echelon arms, and I'm not even sure about him. He's very happy to be in L.A., but when you look at, you know, the situation here with Blake Snell, I was kind of surprised because the Giants wanted everybody to pick up all the money on that contract as well. Teams were asking the Giants to eat some of that, and they said no. And then eventually they were like, you know what? We're just going to hold on to him. So they still have a shot at the playoffs, but, like, do they?
I understand why people – he won the Cy Young twice. Mm-hmm. Why do people crap on him?
Because he's a five-inning pitcher.
He won the Cy Young twice.
Hold on. When he won the – so, look, again, I'm not trying to dismiss it. The first Cy Young he won, we could sit there and talk about the merits of what he did that season. He used to go deeper into games. Mm-hmm. But he's become a guy that throws too many pitches. He gets to a lot of full counts, and because his stuff is so nasty that in full counts, he has the advantage all the time because it just starts over the plate and everything breaks off. I don't know how many 3-2 balls he actually throws for strikes, but guys swing at it, and we've seen this for years. Last year was, look, nobody wanted to win the award. When it came down to it, we had Zach Gallen, Zach Wheeler, all these names that were in the mix.
When he won the second one, you mean?
Yeah, when he won last year.
Yeah.
And, like, you're looking at it going, are they going to give it to him? I can't believe it. He had a good ERA, but he was a five-inning pitcher last year at best.
So you're not – what do you think about this, though, the no-hitter? Does that get you off of his back?
No. I mean, look, that's impressive. It's incredible. But, like, if we had a guy that was hitting – that didn't hit for power and hit 3 home runs in one game, are we going to go, oh, there he is, showed you, he's got power. No, he did it once. Cool story, bro.
But let's say that batter was a former home run champion who lost some power.
Sammy Sosa?
Lost some power.
You think it's back?
Because what Ed is saying is Blake Snell is a Cy Young Award winner who did this. It's not like just some Opie Taylor didn't do this. You know what I mean?
And he won the first one in 18, but he did win the second last year.
Right.
And he had a 2.25 ERA. You know,
but you, like,
it's 180 innings.
Again, it's looking deeper at the numbers, and you know how important it is for guys to go deep in games, and it's something he doesn't do. Like, we could sit here and talk about how important he is to his team because he shuts teams out for 5 innings, but realistically, now every time he pitches, you've got to use, at a minimum, 4 different arms, usually, to get you through the game.
It's so interesting. The two times he won, but the most innings pitched he's had, 180. Both years.
He just doesn't, again, he doesn't pitch deep into games. And I'm happy for him. It's a cool thing, but it's not like He gets to come out and see, I did it. What are you guys talking about? No, we say you don't consistently do it. So it's a very great feat for him, though.
By the way, Blake Snell, when he last year won the Cy Young, he was 24th in the league in innings pitched.
With 180.
24th. The leaders were the top five were Logan Webb at 216, Zach Gallen at 210, Garrett Cole at 209, Miles Mikolas at 201 in the third, and Chris Bassett at 200.
You know, the other thing with
and Corbin Burns was 11th with 193 and two thirds.
So last year, Cy Young was kind of crazy because there were a lot of people that didn't want Garrett Cole to win it, you know, for a lot of similar reasons. He goes deep in the games, but you're looking at it going, he's not having a Cy Young season. But what do you do when no one else is either? If his numbers are better than everyone else's, he has a shot to win it, you know, and that's what happened last year.
I didn't understand the pushback for Garrett Cole. Garrett Cole was 15-4 with a 2.63 earned run average and third in the league in innings pitched. With 222 strikeouts, which was what? At the top, was fifth in the league in strikeouts. I didn't understand the pushback with that.
Well, the pushback had to do with like some of his inconsistencies at time and looking at, there are a lot of pitchers that were putting up similar numbers to him around that, but nobody wanted to run away with these awards. And at the end of the year, you're going, I guess it is going to be Garrett Cole. I guess it is going to be Blake Snell.
Okay, American League. I'm just talking about just American League. All right, Chris Bassett. Last year, 200 innings pitched, 16-8, ERA 3.60. What did I tell you? People, if your ERA is over 3.50, you're not winning the Cy Young. Framber Valdez, 198 innings pitched, 12-11, 3.45 earned run average. I mean, Garrett Cole's numbers across the board were better than everybody else's in the American League.
And this is what I'm saying. We'd have to go back and look at September, and I'd say late August for a lot of these guys, because Framber Valdez fell off.
Big time.
Yeah, so he had an ERA around 2-something. That's what I mean. Like, there were so many guys in the mix, and then when you looked at it, Garrett Cole was the guy standing at the end where you're going, yeah, I guess it is him because his numbers are better than everyone.
Framber Valdez was like the favorite at one point.
Yeah, and then he just kind of, you know, big-time ground ball pitcher, fell apart. And, you know, the National League, the same thing happened. And look at all the injuries. You know, Spencer Strider last year, everybody loves him, big strikeout guy. He had multiple games where his ass got rocked.
Yep.
And everybody's like, did he just give up 8 runs to the Mets? You know, it's, or whoever, Miami? Yeah. You couldn't figure it out. And now he gets hurt this year. But Gallen was a front runner last year.
He was the only, Strider was the only 20-game winner last year, am I right?
I think so. In the National League?
Yeah.
Or in all of baseball?
All of baseball, yeah. I think. He was only one 20-game winner. He was, I'm looking at it now. Look it up.
Now I'm watching.
20-5, 3.86 ERA.
Yeah. There's a lot of cake in the Olympics, man.
Oh.
A lot of cake. And I got a sweet tooth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Lots of cake, Joe.
Nice shorts. Listen to these old men over here.
Do you see the camera? Like, hold on. You can talk about these old men. The cameramen are like, all of a sudden he's rolling around and you see it dip down. Like, I know what you're doing. You're keeping me tuned in is what you're doing.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. World is Stupid at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, Lamar Jackson is in the top 100 players in the National Football League. We know that's always going to happen. But where did he land? It's been a subject of a lot of conversations. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing.
He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.